from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, Chiefs fans. It's Locked On Chiefs. We're here. Second day, maybe a second look, a little delayed thought process on the debacle in New York. Couple of ideas we're going to go over. We're going to have some suggestions later this week on the strange schedule. We're going to have an in-depth conversation about one particular topic with Seth Kaiser. So keep an eye out for that. And then we're going to have our preview for you for the upcoming game against the Bills. But for today, we are going to stay squarely focused on what's going on with this team and their issues right now. But please check out the rest of the podcast network. Make sure you're throwing those iTunes reviews on there with your Twitter handle. We really appreciate that. As well as checking out, we've got a couple of new people. Today, we're brought to you by MyBookie. And tomorrow, we're going to talk to you about Draft.com. One-day fantasy leagues. It's great. But for all that we're going to talk about that on the positive side, we still got to take a deeper dive into this game. And I want to start particularly on, I caught a lot of flack for what I was saying about the defense yesterday and how I still think there's some changes that need to be made in terms of the coaching staff, particularly Koner. And a lot of fans had pointed out to me, they only gave up 12 points. And that is a completely fair approximation.
But they played the Giants.
Exactly. And that's the point I'm trying to make. I mean, honestly, on paper, this could have been a shutout. It should have been a shutout. The Giants were that inept. And that's what really throws you, because it's the difference between a team playing up to their potential, up to their talent. And no team's going to ever reach 100%, but this team's barely playing at 50% of what they should be.
Are you even sure they're playing at 50?
I was trying to be generous there a little bit.
I think you're being over-generous, because I don't think they're playing at 50 right now. They are really struggling all over the place, and they have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. The defense still has a lot of work to do. The defensive line is not performing like it should. On the day against a grossly inferior foe, they still allowed 3.5 yards of carry. That sounds good, and it's definitely better than they have been doing. But coming up next week and beyond, and when they get to the playoffs, and unless I completely misjudge this staff and this locker room, I don't see a meltdown coming. I could be wrong, and if I am, y'all can just come back to this episode and throw things at me. But I see this team. You'll be the first one.
Absolutely.
But I see this team. I mean, what do they need to do? They have 6 wins right now. They need 11. They need 11 to be a playoff team. Maybe they can scoot by with less.
I think they could make it at 9. I really don't think the AFC West is going to get anybody else that's going to come through that's going to be good enough. So I think they can make it at 9. Now, do I expect them to win 9? No, I think they do better than that, but I think that they could do it with 9.
Well, I'm trying to guard against anybody getting on a run. And in this league, anyone can get on a run. Sure. The Raiders got their butts kicked in Mexico City, and more so than I thought they were going to. So if they can get that ship righted, then you have somebody coming back again. This whole division is trying to right itself, except for the Chargers, who seem to have figured out what they do best and stuck with doing it. And that's the best way that I can describe what this team needs to do, in my opinion. What do you think is job? Let's start with job number one to get this thing turned around.
They need to find somebody that can lead on offense. Honestly, you look at what they have and the players they have on this team, and they have to have somebody that can be a vocal leader and that can fire their team up. And I don't think they have it right now. And I don't know who that guy can be. And I'll give him a shout out, because I was impressed by what he said. Ryan Lilger was talking to CDOT on 610, and they were talking about, there really is no vocal leader on offense. And I agree with that. They said, the only guy that could really be that guy, and you'll love this, is Anthony Sherman. But he can't be that guy because he's not on the field enough.
And that's the problem. Although I have to give
you
credit.
Well, no, that's not – okay. Be careful with that, because I know what you're trying to say there, and I'm not going to let you get away with that one.
No, I mean, that's the problem, is when you're – The guy that should be and can be your vocal leader is a guy who only plays, and I'm really excited about this, played 17% of the snaps against the Giants. But that's a season high, folks. You can't have your vocal leader be that guy who's not out there play after play with the rest of the starters.
Yep.
That is what I
mean. It's got to be somebody like it. It's got to be somebody like Eric Berry was for the, you know, was for the defense. And, you know, they don't have that guy. You know, Travis Kelce has the ability to be that guy. Of all the guys on the team, he has that ability. He has that charisma. He has that the stat sheet isn't the right words, but he has the resume for it.
Yeah.
He is a Pro Bowler. He's an All-Pro. I mean, you can go down the list of what he is as a player, and he has that ability to be that guy. Now, will he be that guy? I don't know. Can you trust him to be that guy?
That's hard probably the bigger question, because his teammates have seen him make a string of bonehead plays that cost them yardage. Yep. I think that's really what it comes down to on that situation. And I agree with you. I don't think Smith is that type of guy either. I think what you see, especially when you look at the film from New York, is that Alex Smith is a leader by example. When he has to sacrifice himself, he's willing to do that. When he has to turn himself up a notch, like we saw San Diego in 2016, that big comeback, like he attempted to do in New York during that first two-minute drill. He has the ability to raise his level at times when he needs it, but leading by example isn't enough when you have constant breakdowns at positions across the offense. And
you got to be somebody that's willing to go get in somebody's face, and he's not that guy. And I'm not trying to fault him for that, because, you know, not all quarterbacks are that guy for their team. But you have to have somebody that will do that, and he's not that guy for this team. And until you find that, it's going to be really hard to get a real spark on offense, which is what they really need.
Yeah, I mean, for all of his athletic prowess, Ty Hill isn't that guy either. You lost Jeremy Maclin, or chose to lose him anyway. Another guy that had that kind of moxie about him that could lead with words and inspire guys to pick their game up. I think Chris Conley has been known to be vocal. He's a guy that thinks out the game, that understands the strategy of the game. So losing him beyond that takes another step out of it. You know, can one of the starting linemen, can they do that? I don't know. Eric Fisher's personality seems to be pretty withdrawn. Mitch Schwartz seems to be very, very analytical, but can he inspire men around him? I don't know.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. Do you have the Patriots or the Steelers, Chicago or Detroit? Well, let me tell you this. Where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why we always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie's been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, just two business days. You know who's going to win, right? Lay down some cash and win big today.
That's why we're urging you to take a look at MyBookie. You win, they pay. It's that simple. And they have live in-game betting, so you can do whatever you want on the go. It makes wagering in the middle of a contest a breeze. They have great player perks, the best in this business, and an all-new mobile site that makes it all just as simple as a couple of clicks. And join now. MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000 anyway with a 100% bonus. That's free money for you. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate your offer and visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yeah, and if they can't, that's fine. I get it. But you have to find that player. And, you know, you're not going to get it at the wide receiver position from this group, and that's okay. You're not going to get it from – really, the only person I see on this team that can step up and be that player is Kelce. And do you expect him to do it? No. But I will say about Travis Kelce, one thing I was – and this is a small play, and it probably got missed by 90%, and maybe I'm sorely mistaken that so many people miss this, but yesterday one of the things that impressed me so much about what Kelce did at the end of the game was he caught the ball, minute left. He didn't celebrate like he normally does. He ran the ball to the middle of the field and made sure that they got the next playoff.
Exactly. That was a step.
That's a sign of growth.
Exactly. I agree with you. Is it enough? Is that Something that all of his teammates saw, obviously, they understand the situation they're in. Is that enough to allow him to be more vocal and have people rally behind him? Because that's what they need. You know, even Mitch Morse is completely transparent about the fact that he's not making his blocks very well either. I think part of it is getting back in the flow, but he's not as good as he was pre-injury. And maybe that takes some more time. I'm not sure. But everybody is accountable. Everybody has to be accountable. And this is where I get into it's the staff's responsibility to make them accountable and to point that out. And I know everybody understands that Andy Reid has got his rules, but by and large, he's considered a player's coach. He is motivational. He's not confrontational that we've ever heard anything being deliberately out of bounds. And maybe that's what this team needs is a dose of in your face that you're simply not getting your job done more. Buckle down. I think that's the message that the coaching staff has to send. Whether they're able to send it, I'm not sure.
Yeah, whether or not they're going to be able to send that message is a big question mark. I don't think they're going to be able to because it doesn't really seem like Andy Reid's style, especially with the way he has a relationship with his players. You know, one of the things that was mentioned during the Giants game is they have one of the youngest wide receiver cores in the NFL. And I had to think about it for a second, and we knew that going into the season. But despite how they've played at times, I'm very encouraged by that. And we kind of talked about this in the offseason, and I am going somewhere with this. The thing that encourages me about them being the youngest wide receiver core in the NFL is, you know, you look, and I hate looking at next year, but you look at what this team is going to be next year. Almost all these guys, except for Albert Wilson, are going to be back, and they're going to have a new young QB, probably more than likely, playing, and they're going to have a year of growth, and they're going to be able to grow with Patrick Mahomes as their QB. That's exciting for me. But the other thing that I'm really excited about for the rest of this season is to see growth from other players and other young wide receivers. I think DeAnthony Thomas has shown something as a wide receiver at times. I think DeMarcus Robinson has shown something as a wide receiver at times. So Chesson has been out on the field more than I ever expected to happen. Now, whether or not he's going to stay active when Wilson comes back, who knows? But it's encouraging to see that from those young guys.
And I think that's a position group that needs Albert Wilson back. I know that's strange to say after everything that we've talked about him over the last three seasons. But this season in particular, what they've asked him to do has fit his capabilities a lot better. He's performed better, and he's the oldest guy in the room. He's the most experienced guy in the room. When you talk about just how young that position group is, and if you're not able to stretch with them in one direction, that confines what you can do with Kareem Hunt. And I think when we start talking about X's and O's, those are two of the things that I think – we touched on it really quickly yesterday, and I've looked at only the highlight plays, the ones that where they actually got something done well. And the more that I look at it, it's more the feeling that I have is this team needs to get back to basics, making reach blocks, running their feet out along the offensive line to gain angles. I don't see that as well as you saw earlier in the year, and I think – basic running schemes to set up the pass is what has to be done. Didn't run very well on first down against New York. They need to execute better on first down. But if they're able to do that and they're able to stick with the run, it sets up the play action. It sets up the passing game. And then when you have your youngest position group out there at the wide receiver group, I think it'll afford you all the small advantages that they need to – get themselves in position to get a little bit more separation so that Alex Smith is comfortable throwing the ball to them.
Yeah, and they're going to be a group that's going to grow, and they're going to be a group. You know, one thing that we didn't mention about Albert Wilson that, you know, Matt Derrick has pointed out several times, he is the leader of that wide receiver core right now. You know, we'd like to say it's Chris Conley, but Chris Conley's injured. And I don't think he was the leader of that group to begin with. I think it's always been Albert Wilson. He does fire up his teammates. He does, you know, for a little man that, and I'm not trying to throw hate at him, but we know that he doesn't like to, you know, give up his body for balls. He will put his body in danger to get in somebody's face if he thinks they've taken a cheap shot on one of his teammates. So there is that fire there on offense. Now, do I expect him to be the guy that's going to go fire this offense up? No. But, you know, Matt Derrick also posted something today. You know, they're 1-4 without Wilson.
That's a marked difference. Yeah. You know, for a guy that's thought to be a role player, that's a marked difference in what you're able to get done with him and without him. And it doesn't help that Chris Conley went out roughly about, I want to say this wasn't the same game, was it, as LDT the first time? But in quick succession, lost your best blocking.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't with LDT. Because we were there for the LDT game. We weren't there for the Conley.
But in quick succession.
You would have been crying. I would have been crying. In the stands.
Hell, I might right now.
I know you were. I know.
But in quick succession, you lost your center. And also the guy who sets up the entire blocking scheme, makes the line calls. You lose a very gritty right guard. And you lose your best guy on the edge, which this team tries to get to probably more than most, who is able to block on the outside. And I think that all those things coming together give you what you saw in the reduction in Kareem Hunt's effectiveness. And I think what they have to do, first and foremost, is scheme. However they feel their guys allow them to gain yards on the ground the best. I personally want the big package, and I want Sherman in there leading the way a lot, and you know how I feel about that. And if it's not that, it's fine. If they want to stay in single back or they want to – I like split backs too. I think that'd be a great thing for this particular offense. But they have to get gains on the ground consistently to let Hunt lead the way or – and this is the second thing that I wanted to ask you. I didn't think they used the other Hunt, Akeem, enough.
I agree. And, you know, there's plenty of questions about who Akeem Hunt can be in this offense, but Andy Reid is not finding that out. You can't give the kid one carry and not go back to him. And you know, his carry wasn't very effective, but it goes back to the same thing with any running back. If you give him one carry, they're not going to be very effective, generally speaking. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they might hit one home run play, but that's not going to be the – that's not going to be the way the game goes generally.
Well, and honestly, I thought the play call for him in the match, if you're going to give him one run, don't give Akeem Hunt a draw out of shotgun. Okay. I mean, he gained 3 yards. It's an average run. But I mean, like you said, you got to give him more than that to see what you have. And I think that's going to be important.
And I don't care that they gave him the draw. Sorry, go ahead.
I know I was just completing your thought like that. It's not enough, but in particular, it's not enough when you're not giving him what I think he needs, which is at least a downhill, you know, maybe an inside zone, something so that he can get vertical rather than having that delay already built into his only carry.
And I don't have a problem with that, but I would also say that I think he could do some of what Hill does. He isn't going to be near the distraction, but you don't have to use him as a distraction. You can use him on the jet sweep. He's fast enough to do that jet sweep and I think do it well. And those are the types of plays that you can give Hill off and I think be effective.
I think you're absolutely right. And
No, hold on. Can you say that one more time? Come on.
No, I think you nailed that one. That's what they have to do. And I think the other thing is that on the coaching side, they have to better identify. I feel like that old adage, it's not just whether you can do something or not. It's whether you should do something or not. Because I think the X's and O's have gotten away from Andy at this point, that he's trying to use tight ends as though they're interchangeable, not only with each other, but with wide receivers. And I think it sets things up for failure. When you look at what Ty Hill did against the Giants, almost zero vertical routes. One.
Yeah, did you see that?
I haven't seen the chart. No, I should go look at that. But I was just...
Oh, go look at Nick Jacobs' timeline. Go look at the route chart. That'll make you sick to your stomach.
And I was just going off of what I remember from the game. There was the one, obviously, where that long completion between two defenders that maybe shouldn't have been thrown in the first place. But beyond that, I mean, you're not using your number one weapon in the passing game to gain yards downfield. You're relying on backup tight ends down the field. You're relying on formations that don't allow them to do what they do best simply because it throws a wrinkle at the defense that they're not expecting.
what really got frustrating to me is you watch that game and you see how much the Chiefs struggled throwing into the wind almost the entire game. And Smith hit that one throw to Tyreek Hill right before they switched the sides. I mean, it was the play before. And then he doesn't throw, and then Andy Reid goes to running as soon as they switch. There's no consistency there. I mean, you take advantage of what they're giving you. And, you know, I talked about this on Twitter a little bit, and this goes back to what I think really was one of the big problems is they just didn't adjust yesterday. You know, you look at what Smith did, you know, throwing the ball 40 times. You know, I don't mind Alex Smith having 40 throws in some games. And I understand why the game plan for this specific game was for him to throw a bunch. I get it because the Giants were so bad against the pass. But when he is off, one, and two, you have conditions that are not conducive to throwing, two, you change your game plan.
You have to be fluid within the 60 and minutes, then, right?
Right. And then you have the ability to say, okay, well, we're getting ready to switch the field if we run a play. Because, okay, perfect example, that Tyreek bomb that I was saying that he just threw, the last play before they switched sides, I was sitting there going, okay, now you run the ball so you can get to the other side of the field. And, of course, then they come out and they bomb it. Well, my whole point was if you run the ball, you get it flipped to the other side of the field, then you can start throwing down the field because you have the wind going with you. It completely changes the throws. You can't tell me Alex Smith is not an accurate passer, and he missed Kelce twice by 10 yards.
I mean, it's just – and again, don't do it just because you can, because that's why Travis Kelce threw a pass yesterday. There's no reason for that. In fact, it was hurtful because they had just begun to get a little bit of traction in the run game, and it derailed that possession, certainly, but the offense in general for the rest of the day, I felt, because there's just no need for it.
Well, and let's be fair about it. How many times did Alex Smith check out of a passing play to run? There was a certain analyst that we talked to all the time, Mr. Kaiser, said something about there being 20 plays where, or 10 or 15 plays at least that he checked out of a pass to run with Hunt, which means Andy was calling even less pass plays than what it ended up being. How sick is that?
It's unfortunate. It's not really very useful. And, you know, I will never know what he checked where from to, but you have to think that he sees something worth doing, whether he delivered the ball or not. I think what Alex Smith needs is to not have to be the one guy that has to make everything click. And again, it just takes me back to use your athletes for what they're for. You have three running backs, use them. And if Andy Reid came out and said Monday that they haven't forgotten about Parker Anger, okay. If you truly think that Parker Anger is not the better option than Zach Fulton at left guard at this point, then either he's still hurt or you're wrong. They have to figure something out. They have to get five guys who are ready to block and ready to take their game up a level, because that's what this team needs. If they can get time and blocking in the run game, this whole offense can change. This isn't a season that's doomed, is my point.
No, it's not a season that's doomed, but it's definitely a season that's struggling right now, because you look at what this team was and what they came out to show, and this is much different than we ever thought it could go. You know, I will say this. Kareem Hunt had 4.1 yards per carry in only 18 carries yesterday.
Yeah. Will they figure it out? That's the question.
So, well, and, you know, you just gave us a perfect lead into a conversation that we'll be having for tomorrow's show with, you know, Alex Smith can't be that guy that has to be the one to put them all in place. It's a great segue for tomorrow's show.
We're going to have a long conversation in a couple of different ways about the elephant in the room. And that is the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback now and to come. So please stick with us. Make sure you're subscribed. We are going to have, we decided to do a bonus show. So you're only going to get it if you are subscribed to the show. So please make sure you do that through either iTunes or Stitcher or through the Megaphone app. We're all over the place. Google Play Music is the newest one and it's functioning really well. So check that out as well. We are going to talk about the quarterbacks tomorrow. The two of us, as well as a conversation we had last week with Seth Kizer, particularly about what the play of Alex Smith has to turn into before it's legitimate to make that change at that position. So please check in with us tomorrow. I know it's getting close to the holiday, and we're all running around trying to do things, but we appreciate your time, and we thank you for listening today. We will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter at Ryan Tracy NFL and at Chris Clark NFL. We'll talk to you next time.